Would y'all pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for calling us to this space today, for this time where we have set it apart to worship you. Especially in this parable series, open our hearts and our minds to understand what you have for us today. Understand more of the life of Jesus and more of the saving grace that you literally have for us in store. All this we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this week, as we have said multiple times, we are starting Lent. We are kickstarting this series. It's going to be story after story of Jesus. The stories are better, honestly, than many scripts that come out of Hollywood, because every single time you will hear them, it starts to feel like that can't be true. That can't be the way it ends. That can't be the way it turns. The effects, the lighting, the mood, all of those pieces that go into the stories that you and I like to watch, those elements are here. You just have to look through that lens. I open today with a story that comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. You see, all these stories of the parables, they'll come from the Gospels. And the Gospel really just means it is the good news according to Luke, for example. Someone who has lived either among Jesus or studied and lived among those who are around this guy, Jesus. And they have taken an account to draw up all the details, sort of like the biography of Jesus as they start writing down what he did, where he went, what he said, who he dared to talk to, and the way he did it. But it's not in the way you think. He's daring, he's courageous, he's bold, but it's an all a different lens than what we prize today among each other. And so it's not surprising that when he goes about teaching, he needs to, let's say, get their attention, shake them by the lapel, shake them by the shoulders, wave the neon flag and say, this is what I say to you. The way he does it usually is that he's talking to this Jewish audience, okay? So he is retweeting things that they would have already known. He's taking things from the Old Testament, and he's saying, you have heard it said this, but I say to you this. And the funny thing about his, let's call it retweeting, that he does is he doesn't do it word for word. He doesn't. He turns up the dial, and it gets higher and higher and higher until it feels like it's going to burst. It's just that shocking. And it's hard for you and I. It's hard for us to hear this and feel shocked sometimes. Especially when the Bible, it's something that lays around maybe our house or our church, and it goes unopened for weeks on end, which happens to us all. And so we start to think those stories, they dim. They have shadows. We haven't gotten into the depth of them. But today, you have heard it said, and I say to you, this is the way that Christ leads. And so the gospel reading, the next few weeks, I hope that you'll either consider bringing a Bible or a phone with a Bible app just for Lent, if nothing else. So that way you can follow along and you can read Jesus' words for yourself. And this is how it goes. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. As Jesus is talking, he told them this parable. He said, no one tears out a piece of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. No one pours a new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wineskins must be poured into, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. And now, if you're looking out with like a glazed look on your face because this feels that random, that's okay. It is that random to us. But let me put it in context for you. Jesus is gathering around his disciples, and he's doing one of the things he does best, teaching. Any good teacher knows that to be a good teacher, you need to be an effective storyteller. You need to put the people in the car and drive it, and we're all together, seeing the same things along the way, pointing out the same stops, noticing the same time that this happens or that. And Jesus is doing this. He does it all the time. He gathers up his disciples and he says, listen, let me tell you some stories. And instead of stories, actually, let me call them parables. You see, a parable is something that is on appearance abstract, but underneath one of the most rich, most foundational, most robust stories you could ever hear. That underneath it, if you can just look close enough, just discern closely enough, you'll start to see something you could have never imagined resides in the story. Jesus takes them along. He says, let me tell you this parable. And you and I, we know fashion in 2025. Can a new item, a new patch of a garment be sewed onto an old one and make it totally new? No. Most likely, even the best of seamstresses, you'll notice where the patch was sewn on the garment. Yes? And so you'll see that's the old patch, or that's the old garment, and this is the new patch, or vice versa. And why does he talk fashion with them? Why? Why does he talk about a garment and seamstress in this? Jesus is talking about the old and the new. He does it again with wine. Maybe, in my mind, I think, hoping to strike a different audience when he says it. Like, okay, if you're not familiar with garments, let's try wine. Anyone know wine? And I think the rest of them are sitting like, okay, now we're talking. So he says, let's talk beverages. Wine, a very popular fermented drink in the day, and the way that it was processed was in these wineskins. Wineskins, not something we see a lot these days. A sheep or a goat, it's the skin. It is packaged in this kind of to-go traveler container. They're not that unlike us. They take their wine with them. They hang it in their home. That would be a regular practice to be fermenting it. And so when they put new wine into a new wineskin, okay, those are made for each other. It goes well. Because you see what happens is the wine starts to expand over time. And if you were to take that same new wine and put it in an old wineskin, one you'd had laying around for a while, let's say, you say, we'll just put it in here and then we'll travel with that. What would happen? It expands and it would burst. It would explode. It would ruin both resources, something that they can't afford back in that time. And honestly, we can't either, right? When we have a good, we want it to thrive. Why? Why does Jesus pull out these two most random examples? And why are they one of the first parables that he ever teaches? You see, Jesus is doing something so much bigger than these stories. He's bringing about this new age. He's showing up to a world that only knows one thing. They know the law. They know the Old Testament law. And if you're sitting there going, what law? I understand. The law, it's those tablets. Do you remember? Moses is given the law by God up on Mount Sinai, beginning of the Bible, in Exodus. Moses comes down from the mountain, his face is shining. He's got the goods. He's got the commands. If we just follow these, they say, this will go well with us. And then, of course, as we see time and time again, and we see in our own everyday life, what do? Do they follow the commands? No. They don't. They struggle, just like we do. They struggle to follow God. They say they will, and then they don't. And so time goes on, and God gives them new commands, new laws. And you see, for someone living in Jesus' day, the only way they could communicate that I follow God is if they are a rule follower. That's in their lingo. That's how they would see it. If they keep the law, they keep the commands of the Old Testament, check. If not, try harder. That's the world in which Jesus is living. And so when Jesus comes, Jesus says, I'm bringing about a new age. And it reminded me this week of a very famous show that my husband and I have both loved, Ted Lasso. Okay? And you might be wondering how these connect. I promise they do. Ted Lasso is a show about a guy from Kansas City, and he is moving to London. He was once a football coach, like United States football coach, and he now becomes a soccer coach in London. Okay? And when he moves there, he's helping this struggling team, AFC Richmond. And AFC Richmond just cannot get it together, y'all. They have players, they're all over the place, they're not getting along, they've had bad coaching in the past. And so Ted gets sent in to, well, fix the problem. They send him in, and his job is to call different players to the right spots, to get them to talk to one another, to have community, have friendship even better, and all of a sudden to be going in the same direction. And it reminds me, silly enough, but it reminds me of what Jesus is saying here about the old and the new. Because who can take a whole team and plug in just one new piece? Who can take an old garment and put on a new patch and say, oh, good enough, it's basically new? Who can take an old soccer team and plug in one new goalie and say, oh, they're going to win now, good enough? You see, what Ted ends up learning over three seasons, when they go from losing to winning inevitably, is that what got us here won't get us there. What got us here is not enough to get us there. There has to be some transformation. There has to be a dial, a lever, something that we pull or turn so that we can all of a sudden transform. Because what happens? Doing the same thing over and getting the same result. You know the quote, it's no good. Why? Why live like that? For those of us who maybe don't have enough courage or don't have enough direction to then transform, we do. We end up in the same ruts, doing the same things, expecting a glamorous new result, and then feeling stuck. Like, why didn't that work? You see, the Jewish folks of the day in Jesus, they're doing the same thing, expecting the same results. And it was working up to a point. But do you remember the one thing that was going to transform for them? It's this thing called a Messiah. The one thing that was going to be the lever, the dial, the huge catalyst for transformation, it's called the Messiah. And they keep waiting and waiting, twiddling their thumbs, looking around, waiting. And boom, the Messiah comes. That is what we call Advent and Christmas. But for them, they're still waiting and waiting. And they've heard maybe it's him and they're waiting. And some disciples get called and the rest of the Jewish people are waiting. And the disciples start to understand, oh my gosh, this is the person. This is the one. He is whom we have waited on. And they start telling everyone. Let me ask you, how crazy do you think everyone else thought they were for telling them he's here? Because generation after generation, century after century, they have been waiting for the one. And so when Jesus comes, not only does he come in this miraculous birth to the most unsuspecting people, but he brings with him these messages that flip everything over. Every expectation, every cultural norm, he flips them. And he flips them upside down, not for fun or because he's bored. He flips them, and he's an excellent storyteller doing it, because this is transformation. Because this is now a new age. He's bringing about this new kingdom, just like perhaps, stay with me, how when Ted Lasso walked out onto the pitch with that soccer team who did not want a new coach, they did not think there was anything to be solved. We're doing fine. We're doing the same thing over and over, and we're getting actually pretty good at it. But what? It gets them the same results over and over. We don't need a new coach. We don't need a new direction or a new strategy. We're fine. Do you hear the similarity, the model? How many people in Jesus' day thought, we don't need a Messiah, we're fine. I'm getting along just fine. We don't need a Messiah, especially not one who, I can just hear it, when Jesus says his famous lines, the first will be last and the last will be first. How many people do you think are raising their hands signing up for that kingdom? That is not met with the joy that we should have with it today. Back then they're thinking, what? You're supposed to be here to overtake Rome. You're not supposed to be here to put me in last place. And all of a sudden, story after story, healing after healing, miracle after miracle, this guy, Jesus, the one they have been waiting for, They start to see it. And the thing that Jesus says time and time again, the number one thesis statement that I think he would write in his letter, is that transformation is possible, yet not only possible, required to follow Jesus. Who then patches a new patch on an old garment and calls it perfect, new, beautiful? Who does that? Who then takes their old wine and their new wine and swaps wineskins, knowing it'll burst right open, it will ruin it all? Who does that? No, you've heard it said this, but I say to you this. And that's how Jesus goes about. And the reason I know he expects transformation is because this guy Paul, who followed Jesus in this Christian faith as it started up, he said this, one of my very favorite verses of the whole Bible. He said, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So from now on, we no longer regard one another from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, boom, new creation." It doesn't say boom in there, but boom, new creation. You kind of have to read it like that, though. You have to. Otherwise, because it just sounds like any other sentence, and any other day, and any other expectation. But when you realize, therefore, for anyone in Christ, are you in Christ? Then, new creation. Not new patch on an old garment, not new wine in an old wineskin. If you're in Christ, then new. Totally new. New creation. This is something that I don't think we really believe sometimes. Because we love the way it sounds. But we also love our old frameworks. We love our old habits, our old rhythms, our old settings. And we say, Jesus, I'll be new. I'll be new when it fits into my old framework. I'll be new when it fits into the group that I'm already in. My old friends, my old setting, even the ones that I had before I even followed you, Jesus, could you just fit into that box over here and this one over there? And we start to kind of try to mold Jesus like Play-Doh, like as if he could fit in all these things, instead of understanding new. Who then wants, I've never said it like this today, but who then wants the old garment with the new patch? Is that what you want? Is that all there is? Just the old way of being with a new patch here and a new patch there? I don't. Because honestly, the way that Jesus comes in, if Jesus is going to flip all the scripts, I want to be a part of it. Life is too short. It's too temporary. And it's too good to miss out on being new. And that's kind of our call during Lent. Lent is a time of preparation, but where are things growing old? And how can they be made new? Can God ever stop making anything new? In the stained glass window of the church I grew up in at a younger age, it had a big stained glass would be right behind me, and it said, "Behold, I make all things new." And it just had this like glittering of all sorts of scenes. And if you commit one line of scripture, gosh, I hope it's that one. That is God. That is the heart of Christ, and that is the whole point of these parables. Behold, you who are tired, you who are exhausted, you who are unemployed, you who are widowed, you who are anything that feels heavy, you who are that, behold, Jesus makes all things new. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, give us the heart and the mind to trust you make all things new, including ourselves, even when we feel unworthy, even when we can't see how you're going to do it and we want to give you a project plan to follow. God, humble us and put us in our spot to remind us it's you who do the transforming, you who call us to live into it, to embrace the transformation, and then to wear it proudly. A new garment, a new wineskin, completely. This total renewal is the desire of our hearts, whether we know it or not, whether we say it or not. Would you make it so and give us the courage to live into it this week? All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.